Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day. And today's episode features episode 93 with Jude Bernard. Yo, Jude Bernard was able to take a student loan and flip it into 30 units, a 30-unit portfolio in New York City, man. Incredible story. So we want to take y'all back to the incredible episode where Jude kind of unpacks how he was able to do it. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Jude Bernard, episode 93, today's Black Real Estate Dialogue Closing Day. Let's get it.
They benefit, whoever benefits from people taking more loans. So why do you care? Why do they care how people use it?
Isn't it funny, though, that they will just give a 17 and 18-year-old hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans? Mm-hmm. Just sign right here. No questions asked. They don't want to know how you're going to pay it back. They don't want to know how any of this. But like, you got to jump through hoops to get a property. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I kind of think that sometimes it's intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's easy to get a car. It's easy to get student loans. It's easy to get just about anything that's a depreciating asset. But the things that you build wealth with, those are the things that are scrutinized the heaviest.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. No, I agree. You know, it's very straightforward even how to get a student loan. Like, there are, you know, if you can't get public, there's plenty of private you can get, you know, but most people are not familiar with the process of even how to walk into a bank and figure out what you qualify for and all those things. So I definitely agree with you there.
Yeah.
So what were those early days like as a property owner, pretty young? Was this a multifamily property and you had tenants as well?
Yes, exactly. What I did was I actually was still living at home when I got the first couple of properties, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to deal with tenants. I didn't know how to properly vet contractors. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know what was necessary, you know, what was necessary maintenance, what was preventative maintenance. So I just thought, I buy the building, the people live in the building, they pay me rent, and that's it. You know, like, it was a learning curve. And one of the things that I realized very, very recently, actually, I realized that it is a process, right? You know, you need to learn on these small deals. You need to acquire these lessons on a small deal so you could take them, so you could make the mistakes on the $50,000 deal so you don't make them on a $100,000 deal. You know, so you take the knowledge that you've gotten on the first deal to the next, and then you take the knowledge that you got from that deal to the next, and so forth. You're constantly building, and it's super important that you go through the steps. So many times people take a course, or they watch something on YouTube, and they're just like, "All right, cool, I'm ready to jump into this $10 million deal." You know. So that's one of the best things that I think that ever happened is the fact that I got started so early, and I just kind of went step by step each rung of the staircase to get where I am today.
Definitely. So when you think about those first couple of properties, what are some lessons in hindsight that you learned from those early experiences?
Respect your tenants. You know, very important. The properties that I purchased were like Class D properties. Like, they were terrible, you know. And what made the situation even worse was that at the time I didn't know how to speak to tenants. I didn't think about the things that I said before I said them. I used to take things personal. You know, but it's business. You know, it's business for them. It's business for you. That was one lesson. The second thing that I learned is that you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan of how you're going to acquire the property, how you're going to maintain the property, what's the exit strategy, you know, what are some contingencies that you have to have in place. Very important. People don't plan for the unplanned, but, you know, you have to learn to expect the unexpected. And lastly, one of the things that I learned very early is that you have to have relationships. You know, like you can't manage this on your own. You need a team to build any kind of wealth or anything like that in real estate. You need your contractors, your lawyers, your accountants, your property managers, you know, your fixers, you know, the person that you could call when you get a, you know, a fine in the city that you shouldn't have gotten. So all of these things were things that I did not have for the first couple of properties, which kind of made things go awry.
Definitely. And then what part of New York were those first couple properties in?
Southside Jamaica, Queens were the first couple. You know, I got my first couple of properties in Queens. And then I actually bought a house in Queens that I actually lived in. And I was in Queens for about, 4 years before I found out about Brooklyn, you know, that how Brooklyn was just popping. I didn't realize how much Brooklyn was popping until the towers went down in the World Trade Center back in 2001. And everybody just started, there was a mass exodus out of the city and everybody just started to gravitate toward Brooklyn. So, And I was fairly young in the game at the time. So I was watching, my properties that I purchased out there go up like 25% a year for a few years straight. So.
Wow. That's incredible. So when it came to Brooklyn, you mentioned that there was like a turning point where you realized, yes, all right, I'm in Queens now, but Brooklyn's where I need to be. So talk to us about just the process, like just from that point, you're like, all right, this is where I need to be. How did you then navigate and figure out like where in Brooklyn you wanted to invest, like what the deals were looking like? What was that like for you?
Well, you're from Brooklyn, so you're pretty much aware like how things go, like from neighborhood to neighborhood, from the bridge all the way, you know, all the way to East New York and Brownsville, right? Mm-hmm. When I got to Brooklyn, Brooklyn Heights was, you know, always Brooklyn Heights. Right. So the next neighborhood, you know, going east was Fort Greene, and Fort Greene was starting to change. I got in when Fort Greene was popping, you know, like all the bars were opening up, things were gentrifying. So you could actually just see the difference. So, and as it was going west, excuse me, as it was going east, different neighborhoods went from Fort Greene to Clinton Hills to Bed-Stuy to Bushwick and beyond, you know? So it's basically just following, you know, it's just like a bomb that drops and it's just kind of exploding. So, and I'm sure no matter where you are in the world, it's like that. There's always a hub that everybody is centered at, and then it's just around the perimeter. And if you can't afford to be in the center, you could kind of purchase around the perimeter and just kind of wait for things to get to you, which is the best way to do it. Because if you see the direction that things are going in and you just sit there and wait for it, it's more profitable. You know, Dennis Rodman once said that the reason he got so many rebounds is because he never really focused on where the basketball is. He always just focused on where it was going and made sure that he was there to catch it when it came off the rim. So that's the same mindset you got to have for real estate investing.
Definitely. Can you take us back to the first deal you can recall that you did in Bed-Stuy and how that came together? Or I guess in the Brooklyn area?
The first deal that I ever did was in Clinton Hills, and I still own that property as well. Right. It was a referral from a broker. He was actually, I had actually retained him to to find me a bar. I was trying to buy a bar at the time because, as I said, everyone was just gravitating to Brooklyn at the time and wanted to hang out in Brooklyn. So I was working with this guy looking for a bar. He hits me up. He says, "Hey, I have a deal for you." And it was a $400,000. The property was like $400,000. And I just needed 10% down at the time. So I jumped on it, gave him 40 grand. And, you know, a year later, the building next door became available for like $460,000. So I jumped on that. And those became like the hub of my properties in Brooklyn. And since then, I've just kind of been building around them. And again, this is like in 2003, those properties that I purchased then have like 5X, 5 or 6X by now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.